You're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. Yesterday, a hit-and-run driver critically injured an 80-year-old woman in Capitol Hill. According to Seattle police, she died as a result of the injury. This comes after a Seattle police car hit and killed 23-year-old John V. Kundula last month in South Lake Union. And you might remember Gon Hao Lee. He was struck by a car while biking in Soto last year. Lee died 2 weeks shy of his 74th birthday.
We know it has been, unfortunately, a particularly fatal year in your state.
Polly Trottenberg is deputy secretary at the U.S. Department of Transportation. She's referring to an alarming trend. Last year, 745 people died on Washington state roads, the most since 1990. Across the country, traffic fatalities have risen since the COVID pandemic began.
And we are seeing on American roadways in recent years over 40,000 deaths, and that is unacceptable.
We spoke with the deputy secretary as the DOT was announcing a series of grants aimed at curbing deaths on Seattle's streets. The city is set to receive over $25 million for roadway safety. Most of that money will go to Soto. Since 2019, almost half of all fatal collisions have occurred in Seattle City Council District 2, which includes Soto. The grant includes money for 4 miles of protected bike lanes, more than a mile of new sidewalks, and treatments for existing roads and intersections like speed bumps and new signs. It's been a year since the U.S. Department of Transportation announced a new roadway safety strategy. They're working towards a goal of zero fatalities on the nation's roads.
It's really a paradigm shift. We have traditionally invested our dollars, particularly with state DOTs, more focused on state highways. And for the first time, we're making these kind of investments in local projects all over the country.
Seattle has its own pledge to reach zero fatalities on its roadways by 2030. But 8 years into that Vision Zero goal, the city has seen little progress. And in fact, in 2021, the city recorded the highest number of roadway deaths since 2006. So what are the challenges keeping cities like Seattle from moving closer to their goals? And how much will these grants help? Jenny O'Connell leads the roadway safety and Vision Zero work at the National Association of City Transportation Officials, also called NACTO. Hi, Jenny.
Thanks for having me.
Where did the concept of Vision Zero first come from?
Vision Zero is an approach to managing safety on streets that created in Sweden in the 1990s. And the basic idea behind Vision Zero is that by using a more systems-driven approach to managing streets, and instead of relying just on managing behavior of individual road users, you can have a bigger impact on traffic safety across the entire transportation network. So in the 90s in Sweden, they adopted a Vision Zero approach to street safety, and that primarily actually relied on traffic engineering, street engineering, and street design that was designed to help drivers go slower, provide safer spaces for people walking and biking, and took the onus off of individuals who, you know, are prone to make mistakes, as we all are.
So what are some examples of infrastructure improvements that can encourage safer driving? Are we talking like raised medians, street trees, traffic circles? What sort of things have been tried in different communities?
There are so many great kinds of treatments that can help drivers travel more slowly and that can provide protected safe spaces for people walking and biking. You know, there are some of the really obvious things like narrower lanes or medians, like you said, that sort of change the geometry of the road for the driver, but also implementing things like protected bike lanes, which is really good for bicyclists to have a safe way to navigate the street. Also does take some space away from vehicles, so it inherently narrows the space that drivers have to travel and to move around on the street. So those are some of the things that we see, you know, commonly implemented. But other treatments that can be really effective are crossings, high visibility crossings, good actually signal work that gives pedestrians more time to cross the street without the pressure of a car or a left turning car, even policy changes like restricting left turns, which we know are really dangerous kinds of turns, that drivers undertake in communities all over the world.
Yeah, there is a proposed bill in the Washington legislature right now that we're going to be watching that proposes restricting right turns on red lights in areas around schools and other high pedestrian areas. So it sounds like there's a combination of infrastructure improvements and laws around driver behavior that can affect things. I'm curious, how successful was Vision Zero in Scandinavia? And if you can kind of give us a sense of the way it worked there versus how difficult bringing down traffic deaths has been in the United States.
Yeah, so in Sweden and in other parts of Scandinavia that have taken on a Vision Zero, or sometimes called a safe systems approach, that has been a really successful model for reducing serious injury crashes and fatal crashes. And we're also starting to see that when those kinds of approaches are undertaken in cities across the world, including places like Mexico City, Bogota, and cities in the US like New York City and San Francisco, that kind of approach does have a meaningful impact on the kinds of crashes that are happening on our streets. In Scandinavia, one of the biggest differences is that they have a very coordinated national approach towards street safety that has been in place for a long time and that is generally agreed upon by traffic engineers and transportation professionals as the best path forward for improving traffic safety on their streets. Whereas in the US, we don't have a unified approach, or haven't until very recently had any sort of unified Vision Zero or street safety approach to manage traffic fatalities or serious injuries on our streets. And obviously, we're a big country with a wide variety of types of roads and different typologies, even within cities. And we really need a coordinated approach to be able to achieve the kind of fatality and serious injury reductions that we want to see on our streets.
I've been having several conversations about this topic, reducing fatalities, because in Washington state, we have seen a really disturbing trend that our traffic fatalities have been going up and increasing even in the face of, you know, some efforts, say, in this city level in Seattle to implement Vision Zero policies. And I think something I'm getting stuck on is I would imagine that there's nobody out there who thinks that moving cars faster is more important than saving lives. And yet that seems to be the policy choices that we're making currently. Can you talk to me about what are the obstacles to implementing these types of road changes that have been proven to save lives?
Yeah, so people don't prefer to move vehicles fast over keep people safe, but we have developed sort of a culture in the United States of talking about traffic fatalities as an unfortunate inevitability on our streets. And I think that that has excused away a lot of speed and capacity-oriented decision-making on our streets, you know, both in cities and out of cities. I think one thing is that, like I said, we don't have a particularly unified approach, and that's even down at you know, within individual states. So actually the vast majority of traffic fatalities, in particular pedestrian fatalities, happen on streets that are called urban arterials. And those are streets that are really designed for cars to travel long distances very quickly. And those streets are effectively designed as highways. And a lot of them are not owned by municipalities. So sometimes they're owned by the regional government, oftentimes they're owned by the State Department of Transportation. And so what happens is the city might have a really clear approach to designing streets in a way that keeps people safe. They have a tried and true methodology for building the kinds of streets that they know reduce traffic fatalities and serious injury crashes. But if they don't have jurisdiction over one of those arterial streets, and the State Department of Transportation is the one doing the design, then it's essentially out of the city's hands whether or not that design is done in such a way that keeps people safe and protected. So that sort of lack of unification can cause big problems, even within a single urbanized area. We also have a couple of different documents out of the federal government or sort of at the federal level that are not really oriented around safety. So one of those documents is the Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Design, and that's a regulatory document that regulates signs, signals, and markings. Some of what's in that regulatory document is required for governments to do with their signs, signals, and markings. Some of it is recommended, but oftentimes it ends up being codified at the state level. So speed limits are a really good example of something that's written into the MUTCD, that's the Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices, as something that, you know, engineers are supposed to look at the 85th percentile speed on the street and then set the speed limit, you know, rounding to the nearest 5 miles per hour of that street. So U.S. Department of Transportation says that that's actually not intended to be a requirement, but because of its placement in the Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices, it actually is adopted as a requirement in several states and is definitely adopted as regular practice in a lot of states. And that ultimately trickles down to the cities as well.
Here in Seattle, we have Vision Zero goals at the city level and at the state level for Washington State. But again, numbers have been trending in the wrong direction for the past several years. There is this major grant that was just announced by the U.S. Department of Transportation. Seattle is going to get about $25 million of that to help improve road safety, especially in underserved neighborhoods like the Rainier Valley and SoDo. What are you hoping for as you watch this major injection of federal cash go to street safety in communities across the United States?
Well, I want to first say that although the funding is really exciting and we're really glad that USDOT is investing $1 billion a year for the next 5 years in street safety, it's actually a very tiny percentage of the funding that was allocated through the infrastructure bill. So we would love to see sort of big picture, more funding being able to be used on local streets for road safety. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that you're right. This is a lot of money, $25 million coming to the city of Seattle for the kinds of treatments that they've proposed and that they're going to be undertaking is a big deal and is really exciting. I think that what's really exciting about the potential of the Safe Streets for All grant, which is what Seattle was funded through, is that that grant is going to be funding some projects that are happening across the city, not just on a specific corridor. So in Seattle's case, it's a number of intersections across the city. And in particular, the grant is intended to support road safety in communities that are most impacted. So in the U.S., across every city in the U.S., across every jurisdiction in the U.S., traffic fatalities and traffic crashes and serious injury crashes are significantly higher in low-income communities and communities of color. And the Safe Streets for All grant targets funding towards communities where there are worse safety outcomes on their streets. And those safety outcomes, by the way, are the result of really bad built environment decisions that have happened over the course of the last 75 years, essentially. So what's exciting about the grant and what's happening in Seattle and a number of other cities that got citywide grant funding is that they're going to be making relatively low cost investments in high impact strategies that are likely to have an impact for hundreds of thousands of people in their city. Not just people who live in those communities, but anybody who uses the transportation infrastructure in those communities. And that's the kind of thing that I think we need to be seeing more of in a safe systems approach, this kind of broad scale, low cost, high impact strategy that can be implemented quickly because of the rising traffic fatalities and serious injuries that we have on our streets.
What are some changes that could happen right now either at the policy level or literally infrastructure on our streets that you think would make things better, would bring road fatalities down?
One thing that's been really successful and exciting to see in a couple of cities is the implementation of signal changes. So things like leading pedestrian intervals, which give pedestrians 7 additional seconds to cross the street, can make a huge impact in the safety of that particular intersection, because by the time the drivers get the green light, the pedestrian is already 50% of the way across the street, so they're much more visible to the driver. Those kinds of changes are not particularly expensive in the grand scheme of things. It can be relatively easy to get those approved and rolled out citywide, and they do make a big difference. And then I think other sort of common best practice in terms of low-cost, high-impact strategies that are good for safety are things like high visibility crosswalks at intersections, good mid-block crossings on long blocks that enable pedestrians to get across the street safely. And then, you know, scaling up from there, things like protected bike lanes that can actually be done at relatively low cost in relatively low cost materials, but do take a little bit more sort of planning time and energy, are also really successful ways to improve safety on the street for people biking and also to calm traffic a little bit.
It feels as though traffic safety has not been front of mind for people at every level of government, except for of course, the transportation officials who, you know, live and breathe this stuff. Do you get the sense that it is the message of the tragedy of road safety, of road deaths, and the ways that policy could be changed and infrastructure could be changed to save lives, is that penetrating to a wider audience now?
I think that everybody cares about street safety at the baseline. And we have gotten to a point in the US where traffic safety has become such a crisis that almost everybody is 1 or 2 degrees separation from a really catastrophic crash that has impacted somebody who they know. And when you ask people what's important to you on the street where you live, they often say, I want speeds to be slower. I want my kids to play in the street. I want my streets to feel safer. The challenge is that we have a lot of practices in place, engineers in particular have a lot of practices in place that instruct them to first look at the ability of the street to move cars fast and then also to move a lot of cars. So we have a metric called level of service that has to be evaluated when you're engineering a street, and engineers won't accept below a certain level of service. So that's not that an engineer doesn't care about traffic safety. It's that they are being instructed to place a higher priority on vehicle throughput. So I think the issue isn't that people don't care. The issue is that we have some work to do to reorient the priorities that we have for our streets around traffic safety for all road users, not just people in cars, but you know, people walking, people biking, people rolling, people getting off the bus, people getting out of their cars. We need to prioritize that safety as the foremost thing that we are trying to achieve on our streets rather than vehicle throughput or vehicle speed, because vehicle throughput and vehicle speed are what gets us to the point where we have the kinds of urban arterials that are essentially highways that people live on and they work on and they access on foot and on bike and by transit and all sorts of other ways.
Jenny O'Connell is a senior program manager with the National Association of City Transportation Officials, and she manages road safety and Vision Zero work for the organization. Thank you very much, Jenny, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Soundside. Don't forget you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org or on your favorite podcast app.